You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Psalms 37, verse 1, good place to start. It says, "Do not fret yourself," or "fret not yourself," or "do not fret." You know, I have trouble. I memorize King James, and I quote King James while I'm trying to read New King James. "Do not fret." I think it says, "Fret not thyself," doesn't it? King James says that. Yes. "Fret not thyself against evildoers," or something like that. Well, New King James says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity." Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, you think about this, and I think about gas prices and everything going on, how we get upset, or politicians, you know, we got an election coming up, and depending on which side you're on, you get mad at the other side, and you know, we just get all fretful, and we feel trapped, we feel like we're in a box, you know, when we go to that pump and get that gas, or someone gets elected we don't vote for, and we feel like we're just wrapped up. But that's not true. We're God's people. God's still God, and Jesus is still Lord, and the Word's still true.
That's right.
Amen. I remember Brother Osteen used to say years ago, when I was at Lakewood, he'd say, "Why, if gas goes to $1 a gallon, my God shall supply all mine. If bread goes to $1 a loaf and milk goes to $1, you know, a gallon." I mean, he said all that, and of course we laugh thinking of it now, but prices back then, I remember I had a Volkswagen Super Beetle. That's the reason I married Brenda. She had a Super Beetle. And first year they came out with it in 72, we got married in 73. And, you know, it had that extra foot on the front of it. It had rally wheels. You remember that Super Beetle? Okay, I'm with you. I'm with Chris here. Chris, we're going. We got it going on. But anyway, do what?
Metallic blue.
And it only had an 11-gallon tank, I think, is all it had on it. And gas was 25 cents a gallon. You couldn't even put 5 gallons in. You couldn't even fill it up for 5 gallons.
$5,
excuse me. $5 would not even fill the thing up. $5. I went and got 2 5-gallon cans of gas from a mower's a day, and $40. I think it was $38.25, I think. Okay. But you know what? I'm not fretting against evildoers. No. I'm not fretting myself against that. No matter who you think is at wrong or at fault or to blame here, whether it's OPEC or oil companies or whoever you think is trying to get to you, you know. "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Now, I'm not praying that on them. I'm not wishing that on anybody. I just know that God blesses me, and evil does not continue. There are waves of abuse in life, and it just comes in waves, and it cycles. Are you with me? And it levels back out and straightens back out. Now, don't take that scripture and run off and say, "Praise God, our preacher's praying for destruction on the oil companies." That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying don't fret. Amen? God knows what's going on. And Philippians 4:19 is still true. "My God still shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Not according to the price of the gas, not according to the economy or who's in office or not in office. I believe we have an obligation to vote our conscience and vote the Bible. But after that's done and whoever's elected, we're under a mandate to pray for whoever's in there. But see, really, our blessing comes from God.
Amen.
Amen? It comes from God. And we've got to keep our focus. That's really what this psalmist is saying and what this psalm is about. It's about focus. Faith is a focus, really. A lot of tragedy happens in life, but you've got to keep your focus. A lot of crisis comes our way, but you've got to keep your focus. Tragedy is not you. Failure is not you. You know, I always think of failure in this sense. Failure is an event, it's not a person. Don't personalize it. Don't become one. You may have failed, but you're not a failure. You may have had a crisis, but you're not a crisis. Hello. Are you with me? You don't want to personalize and internalize what's going on in your life. You keep your focus. You keep focus on God. And God will vindicate you if you do right and you do just and you praise Him and you trust Him and you serve Him. He will bless you. Amen?
Amen.
And so you don't have to fret about evildoers when they prosper in the way, and you don't have to be concerned about that. The third verse says, "Trust in the Lord and do good." Trust in the Lord and do good. Don't sneak down there in the middle of the night and steal gas out of that gas tank. Come on. Just pay for it. Do good. Trust God. Hello? Okay. Why? Because it pays to trust God, and it pays to do good.
Yes.
And we are building up a future by doing right and doing good and being honest and working hard and doing all the things that we do. The economies, they go up and down. They come and they go. Stock markets go up and down, and housing markets go up and down. All those things constantly changing. We live in a changing world, but we have a God who does not change.
That's right.
Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? His word is true. Cycles come and go, but He remains the same. And if you'll trust Him, keep your focus on Him, do what's right, well, it goes on and says this, you shall dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. King James says, trust in the Lord, do good, verily thou shalt be fed. Thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You will dwell in the land. You will dwell there. You will not get kicked out. You will make it. Hallelujah. You will go over. Don't give up trust. Don't give up faith. Don't give up your focus. Everybody say focus.
Focus.
That's so important, focus. You know what? I mean, we could just preach a message on that. I think of Kadesh Barnea, Numbers 13, where the 12 spies went into the land of Canaan. And they came back, 10 with a good report, 2 with a bad report. I mean, 2 with a good report, 10 with a bad. They all saw the same thing. They all saw the giants. They all saw the fruit. They all saw the cities. They all saw the walls and so on and so forth. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, were looking at something else. They were focused on something else. So what determined their destiny was not what they saw. What determined their destiny was what they focused on. Isn't that true? Because the 10 focused on the problem. Two, Joshua and Caleb focused on the promise.
That's right.
They said, we're well able to overcome them. God's given us the land. They're bred for us. Let us go up at once and possess it. They were focused on something different. They all saw the same thing, but they didn't all focus on the same thing. And so, you know, we might say when you're trying to be positive, you're trying to trust God and believe God, people say, did you not see the price of that gas at that gas tank? Well, yeah, I saw that, but I'm not focusing in on that. Did you not hear the report about the house or this or that? Yeah, I heard all that. But you see, I'm focused in on God's Word.
Amen. That's right. That's good. Yes, sir.
Those things are there. They exist. We don't deny the reality of those things. But we do deny the right of those things to determine our destiny.
Yeah.
Is this making sense?
Yes.
They're there. We've got to deal with those things. Sure, we deal with those things. We live in a fallen world. We live in this world. We've got to get gas too. But our destiny is determined by what we focus on God's Word. And that's what the psalmist is telling us here. Trust in the Lord, do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Woo, hallelujah. So if you make Him first place, please seek to please Him. Put Him first. Do what He would want you to do. Do what's right. Then God Himself will give you the desires of your heart. I think of that testimony that Tommy gave about now he's managing a store. He's going to manage a store in Canton where he lives. And he's been driving for miles for training, and then at best it looked like he was going to get terrible and still have to drive a little ways. And now God just dropped in his lap the Canton store. He's going to manage the Canton store and still get all the salary that has increased to go to the Terrell store. He still gets all that. I mean, that's God. That is just, but that's His faithfulness. It's His willingness to do whatever God wants Him to do. His faithfulness to get up and go to work, show up on time, and do his best, do more than his best. He didn't tell you everything, but they've put him in a few stores already just training, and their sales have increased in every store he's been in.
Amen.
I mean, they have just gone through the roof, just tremendous. The favor that's on him, where he's gone. But that has a lot to do with what he does.
Amen.
Are you with me? He's a good employee. He's a good worker. You know, we often think, well, I wish God would bless me. Well, God's trying to, but you've got to do something for Him to bless it.
Right.
If you'll read Deuteronomy 28 chapter, it says He blesses all the work of our hand. He doesn't bless us sitting on a couch watching TV.
That's right. Amen. Come on.
Just to throw that out, you know. But if you put your hand to something, He'll bless it.
Yes, He will.
Amen. And that's really God's number one way of prospering you, if you want to know the truth. I know some people think it's a four-letter word, work. But that's how God prospers us. And not just work, but good work, excellent work, faithful work.
Amen.
To be determined and faithful and so on and so forth on job. Trust God. Don't worry about everybody else and everything else. You can't change everything and everybody. You can only change yourself. Pray for people. Sure, be concerned in that respect. But trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on His faithfulness. You want to feed on something? Feed on His faithfulness. God's faithful. He'll make a way where there seemingly is no way. He'll open up a way where you look like there was no way it could happen. In fact, we've seen that over and over in our church, year by year by year. Even when we're doing good, He just blesses us even more. Time and time again, God has done that in this church. Just amazed me that we just trust Him. You know, we determine we're going to do the right thing. We're going to pay cash on things. I remember when we bought the land. You know, we were closing the deal on the land. We have 3.5 acres here, and then we actually, it's a complicated story. I won't tell it all, but we had to purchase 103 acres and then sell off some of it the day after we purchased it to get the land we wanted. And we only needed about 25, 30 acres. And so we got someone to buy the other land, got it all worked out. So we were signing all the papers to do the land deal, you know. And it came down to paying for the land. And someone actually had fronted the money for the land they wanted after we always signed a contract to sign it back over to them as soon as we closed the deal. And so it came down to the land we wanted the day we wanted it. I mean, we're signing papers. It was 27 papers, almost 30 papers we were faxing to a lawyer back and forth and faxing back to the company and title company. And, you know, we were just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. I felt like I was on Dragnet. Remember the old Dragnet? I lost a bunch on that one. Anyway, we're going back and forth, and I'm calling the guy, you know, and talking to him. Okay, we're doing this. We're doing fixing the sign. We'll sign the papers. Everything look good? Yeah, it looks great. Everything's fine. He says, okay, now how much land did the church want? And I said, well, we're 25 or 30 acres. I said, we need enough to go ahead and start a warehouse. We want to build a warehouse. We have cash to pay for that. He said, well, do you want a 25 or 30? What do you want, 25 or 30? I said, what? I don't 25 or 30. We'll settle that as soon as we close the deal here. He says, no, I don't think you understand. I want to go ahead and buy the church's land too and write a check for that and give that to you.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, the day we're signing the paper, I had no idea this was going on. We have the money to buy the land. Now, that's the blessing of God coming on and overtaking you. I mean, God just blessed us with that. And because we were doing everything we should do. We're doing the V money. We're paid off all of our loans. We're budgeting. We're, you know, if you'll do the best you can do, God will come and He'll just outdo you. If you're faithful in the little, He'll put you over the much. And as it turned out, it wound up being, we had to honor some donations that some people had given to land, so we had to honor that. We wound up getting 40 acres, 41, something like that. I think we have a total of 40, right at 45 acres. With the 3.5 acres that we have here. And it's paid for. Amen. We paid cash on it, it's paid for. It was donated or paid for, it's paid for. So we built the warehouse, paid for it, paid cash, poured the slab on the building, put the metal up, just did stages by stages. We did concrete just section by section. By the way, we've got concrete in the next couple of weeks. We should have concrete underneath the canopy. It's just amazing. As we've done our part and trusted God, small town, small church, but we got a big God. We have a big God.
Amen.
And see, that's true for you personally. That's true for the church. That's true for all of us. If we'll put our faith and our trust in God, there are no limits to what you can do with your life and your business, if that's the case. So, delight yourself in the Lord. That's who we've made priority, is the Lord. And we've given to missions, and of course we reach out to others. We're not greedy. We're not lustful. We're not begging. We're not scheming and scamming. We don't have 1,500 plans or ways to get money from people. We don't play that game. I will not play that game. But you know, God raises people up and sends people and puts it in their heart to do what needs to be done. You delight in Him, He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way, fifth verse. Commit your way to the Lord. See, that's the problem. That's when we get fretting and fretful and flustered, and because we don't turn over to God. We look it around. We feel trapped. We feel like we're in a box. We're not trusting God. If we will commit it to God, that means pray. That turn it over to Him. God, I got all this out on the table. I can't handle it, but I know You can. Amen? It's beyond me, but it's not beyond You. I'm in over my head, but Lord, You're the one that makes the current. So just push me where You want me. Leave me where You want me to go. Amen. I am trusting You. I lift my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from God who made the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
And so you have to make that determination, get that focus right, whatever the case may be. It may not be business. It could be anything. But trust God and commit it to God. Throw it up there, commit it to Him, leave it there. Really, truly trust Him. Not try to pull it back. As soon as you pray, turn around and start talking negatively again. As soon as you pray, turn around and start talking doubt and unbelief again. Hello. Turn it over to God and then turn around and say, well, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Well, wait a minute. You just prayed. Don't say that. When you pray, turn around and say, well, I'm trusting God now and He's going to take care of it. Don't know how, don't know when, but I know He's going to do it. Amen? That's committing it to Him. That's putting it in His hands and letting Him have it. Now, praying about it and giving it to Him and taking it back is not letting Him have it. Saying, Lord, I'm trusting You for this, and then turn around and says, I don't know what I'm going to do, is taking it right back from Him. That's having a rope tied to the thing and the other end tied to you. And so wherever you go, it goes. Your problems follow you everywhere you go. At some point, you've got to cut that string and really commit it to God. And that takes focus. Amen? Yeah, but do you know what I'm looking at? Well, see, that's the problem. We've got to quit looking at the thing that we've committed to God and start looking at God.
Amen.
You know, we were in Mexico one time years ago in Guadalajara, Mexico, at Paco Nguti's church.
Yeah.
There with Walt. We were down there with Walt. I can't remember if you were there. I think we'd driven down that time. Yeah, it's just Walt and Brenda and I were down there ministering in a church, and there was another minister there.
Albert.
What was his name?
Albert Salazar.
Yeah, Salazar. Yeah, Albert. Okay. It's been a few years ago. But we were down there ministering. I was ministering. He was ministering. And then he started ministering on forgiveness. And it was just really anointed. It was just he did an awesome job. And Walt was interrupting for us. We were sitting there because he was, you know, ministering in Spanish. And Walt was explaining it to us. But you could catch, you could just catch what he was saying during this whole time. Because the anointing was so strong. He was talking about holding people or holding things in your hand that you hadn't let go or people you hadn't forgiven. And he said, just picture this. He's put them in your hands. If you can imagine you're praying, what is it, whoever it is you think about that just you've got bitterness or you can't seem to let it go or maybe they hurt you, you hold them in your hands and get a picture of them right there. Just hold them right there. We're going to pray. He says, you hold them in your hands and see them. And he said, now I want you to just lift them up, lift them up, lift them up. And he slowly did this, lift them up to God and get a picture of God on His throne. You lifted them up to God. Now you see God, you see God. Okay, just move your hands apart and let them go. And when he said that, there was just an anointing came in that whole building. Because we were all doing that. You know, we were just going like this and just let it go. And of course, if you still keep your head like that, you're looking at Jesus.
Yeah.
You no longer see the people in your hands. It's gone. Because you've committed it to the Lord.
Yeah.
And that could be business, it could be people, it could be anything. I don't know. But whatever you commit to God, commit to Him and leave it there. Hello? Get quiet, Miss Presbyterian Church. Fifth verse, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass.
That's good.
Yeah, I love that. Isn't that good? He will do what He says. No matter what anybody else says, He'll do what He says. No matter what you're hearing, God will always do what He says. He will come through. May not be early, but He's never late. Actually answers before we call. Hello. Because He knows what we're going to pray. He knows what we're going to ask. Turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah 1. That's good. Is this helping you?
Yeah.
Isaiah chapter 1. And really, I love this because this is where we miss it because we try to figure it out ourselves. You know, I love the old adage, you know, I got myself in this mess. I'm going to get myself out of this mess. That's about as dumb as dirt, really, when you think about it. I got myself in this mess. I'm going to get myself out. I'm just confused here. I don't get it. I am the problem. I am the answer. No, you am confused. Hello? You can't be the problem and the answer. Okay, you got yourself in the mess. Great. That's wonderful. Confession is good for the soul. It's great. That's the first step into solving a problem is admitting you got one. But if you are the problem, then we need somebody else to help us with the answer, don't we? I was talking to somebody the other day. I was talking about you got to get out of the wrong crowd. And they were saying, well, I was by myself when this happened. I said, well, that's just case in point. You are the wrong crowd. I just told myself, you got to get around somebody else. Because you can't do this by yourself. I mean, I was the wrong crowd growing up. Let me tell you, I know what I'm talking about. You can be the wrong crowd. Hello. That's why it says here in the 18th verse. Well, it was the truth. I was trying to help this person. Isaiah 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together. Now, he didn't say, y'all go reason amongst yourselves. He said, let us reason together. That's what we really mess up. We'll start reasoning amongst ourselves, and we don't go to God. We do not come to God. God's saying, let's reason about this, okay? I mean, you read all the books, you've talked to everybody in the world. Why don't you come talk to me? And let's get this thing straightened out. Wouldn't you think God knows more than anybody anyway? I mean, wouldn't you think he'd be the final authority? You don't even have to get a second opinion once he tells you what to do, because there's nobody else to get one from. There's only one God. See, you can go to another doctor and get a second opinion, but you can't go to another God. There's only one God. So he says, come, let us reason together. That means you need to have a powwow, come to Jesus meeting. You and Jesus need to get together on this thing, whatever the thing is, and whatever's going on. You're listening to everybody in the world, and we do that. We live in a real fast-paced, media-driven world. You know, news, newspapers, internet, everything you can imagine, cell phones and everything else. And I'm not opposed to all that. I think those things can be used for good, and I think they're wonderfully convenient things. But if we're not careful, we'll let them rule our lives with all that comes across those airways and that media. And it's just because something's on TV doesn't mean it's true. Y'all need to write that down. Somebody needs to write this down. Just because you read it in a newspaper doesn't mean it's a fact. Okay. Did you hear what I heard? Did you see this on? Did you read this the other day? Well, I mean, some of that stuff's interesting. I understand. I mean, I'm very curious to see who wins the Idol thing, whatever that is, you know. I don't even know what you call it. American Idol, yeah. I watch that every night, as you can tell. These are things that will change your life, see. Who wins American Idol? I heard it was going to be David, is what I heard. Okay, 18th. Oh, y'all been watching. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Okay, all right. Because I said that, yeah. 18th verse. Come now, let us reason together. That means you and Jesus, you and God, you take some time, you talk to him, you come to him, you bring your situation, your crisis, your problem, whatever, bring it to God. Amen? And you know what? Get some insight. You don't come to God just to whine. He's just not, you know, God's just not someone a shoulder to cry on. God's a problem solver. He's a problem lifter. He's a deliverer. He doesn't just put band-aids on us. He heals us. He really does deliver us. He really does set us free. He gives us the victory. Calls us to triumph in Christ. So he has answers. He has insight. He has wisdom. What we need to do is listen to him. Reason with him. Well, you can do that through his word. Obviously, there's just tons of scriptures and promises you can stand on here that you can dig in and find, and that you could live your life out accordingly. You do it through prayer. God, many times in prayer, will just move you to call someone or do something you didn't think about. Even in worship sometimes, you know. You get an idea you hadn't even thought of. An idea will come. I've had that happen over and over and over. Even in building. I mean, I've had God give me an idea in building that I didn't think about. Some way of doing something that just didn't cross my mind, you know. I'm thinking traditional, conventional things, and all of a sudden, wow, why don't you do that? Never thought about that, see. In praying about things and turning it over to the Lord. So he says, come let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And of course we quote this concerning being saved and repenting from sin, and rightly so, that's what it's in context about. But it goes on and says, 19th verse, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. It's very similar to what we read over there in Psalms 37, verse 3. Where it says, trust in the Lord, do good, and you'll dwell in the land, and you'll be fed. And the fourth verse, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Fifth verse, commit your way to the Lord, he shall bring it to pass. It's real similar to that in this sense. If you're willing to do what God says, if you're obedient to God's word, you're willing to trust him, see, and to obey him, it doesn't matter what is going on in the world. It doesn't matter about the economy up or down. It doesn't matter what everybody says, good or bad or indifferent. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. You get it? You don't look like it. But if you are willing and obedient, I don't know about everybody else, but if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. You will. Well, did you hear this? Did you hear that? Well, I don't know about all that. But I'm willing to trust God and to do what God says to do. To obey Him, obviously preparation precedes blessing. Obviously there are some things I must do. But if I do what God says to do, He will come through. He always comes through. He is God. He is not a man He'd lie, nor the son of man He'd repent. He will do what He says. Praise God. Maybe everybody else is not keeping their end of the deal. I understand that. Maybe everything's not going the way it should be going economically or whatever. But I know God. I know God will always do what He says. He will always come through. He will always honor His word. And if I'm willing and I'm obedient, I will eat the good of the land if I'm trusting Him. If I'm focused in on Him. See? So I've just got to trust God and do good, and I will eat the good of the land. Verily, I will be fed. Amen? And I will dwell in the land. If I delight in Him, well, He'll give me the desires of my heart.
Amen.
And if I commit my way to Him, He'll bring it to pass. Hallelujah. So, yeah, we live in a crazy mixed up world, but this world's always been crazy mixed up. There's never been a time really, you know, if you'll take cycles of time in our country, there's been bad times in our country from the very beginning. There's bad, there's good, there's bad, there's good. In every country, in every nation, in every period of history in the world, it's always been that way. When we formed this nation, it was a revolution. Come on. There was fighting going on. People were dying, being killed right here on dirt here in the United States of America. Then we had the Civil War. Are you with me? Then you had depressions and so on. Oh, my goodness. Things come and go. God doesn't change. He remains the same.
That's right.
We trust God. He'll come through. Amen. There's always somebody being blessed. There's always somebody making. There's always somebody going over.
Right.
Amen. Why not be that somebody? You know, David said, Psalm 91, 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but do not come nigh me. Only with my eyes will I behold the reward of the wicked. Shall I see the reward of the wicked? Just see it. It's not going to happen to me because I put my trust in Him. Hallelujah. Psalm 91 is an awesome psalm. It'd be a good one to read to encourage you and stir you. So here he says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Turn over to Deuteronomy 28. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you knew we'd get there. Deuteronomy 28. But notice here now, you know, I want to break it down. I don't want to just, you know, just throw out religious sayings and so on and so forth and mantras that you just go out and quote and say and say. There's instruction in that. I mean, there's instruction. Of course, we pray and we trust God. But then we do the things we're supposed to do. Does that make sense? I mean, you couldn't just pray and trust God and not go to work. Are you with me? That's not what he's saying. But if you will do what you can do. You know, I think of John, the second chapter, the wedding of Cana in Galilee. Where this first miracle Jesus did. Everybody say, first miracle.
First miracle.
This is fascinating because the first miracle Jesus did, no one was dying. Isn't that amazing? There was nobody crippled that needed to be healed. No one dying that needed to be saved from death. Or no one that had died that he raised from the dead. The first miracle he did was they were having a wedding, okay, and they ran out of wine. Now, that may not be a big deal, but if it was your wedding, it'd be a big deal. Hello. I won't put that in the context of the culture we're in, too. I mean, I wouldn't say, you know, go get a bunch of wine if you're getting married. I'm just making a point here. Yeah, they drank wine back then differently than we do today. But anyway, it was a big deal. It was a marriage feast. People were coming together. These feasts last sometimes 7 days. I mean, it was a big, big deal. These were huge events. They didn't have television. They didn't have American Idol. They had weddings. They had religious feasts. And these were the events of their lifetime. They didn't have television. Those were big deals. Those were gatherings where people got together, neighbors and friends, and everybody came. And you know, it was just a different time in that sense. So to run out of wine at the wedding feast was pretty major if it was your wedding or if you were over the wedding. And so here comes Jesus and Mary, you know, and Mary says, well, you know, whatever Jesus says, do you do it. And Jesus said, go get 6 water pots or fill them full of water. And they went off, the servants went off and filled them full of water. Now, this is kind of crazy when you think about it. What in the world is that going to do, go filling up six water pots full of water? Well, by itself, nothing. But turned over to Jesus, you got a miracle that's fixing to happen. You've turned something, you've done what you could do, and you've turned it over to Jesus, and He's done what you can't do. But see, if you don't do what you can do, you're never going to get what God can do. They had to do their part before God did His part. What was their part? What God told them to do. God told them to go get the water pots, fill them full of water, bring them, and Jesus turned them into wine. He didn't turn wine out of nothing. He turned what they did into a miracle. I love that. I think that's so awesome. And I think that's where we miss it in many cases, because many times we're trying to believe God and trust God, but we're not doing what we can do. We're not doing what we should do. We're not doing what we rightfully should do. We're not doing the good we should do. If we'll trust God and do good, we'll be fed. Yep. Amen?
Amen?
If we're willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land.
Yep.
Don't lose faith. Keep doing what you're doing, but just realize this, that you're not doing what you're doing by yourself. God will put His hand on what you're doing, and He'll make an outcome that you could never bring to pass.
Amen.
But nothing's going to happen if you don't do anything.
That's right.
You got to do something. But you put trust with it. You mix a little faith with it. You put some faith in what you're doing. You get your focus in God while you're doing what you're doing. And God will bless your socks off. You'll have to go barefooted. Not because you can't afford shoes, because you can't keep socks on. Keep getting blessed and they keep flying off. Okay. Just a thought. Deuteronomy 28, found it? Notice this, and this, of course, is the blessing chapter. There's blessings and curses listed here, incidentally. The blessings of the first 14 verses there. The curses start right after that. But it all has to do with your attitude and what you do. If your attitude's right and what you do is right, God will cause blessing to come on you. If you don't serve God and do the wrong thing, cursings will come on you. So ultimately, really, it's up to you. Wow. The onus is on us. The monkey's on our back. The ball's in our court. Is that enough cliches? Okay. Metaphors? Idioms? 28th chapter, first verse. Now it shall come to pass. Everybody say, it shall come to pass.
It shall come to
pass. And it's not just anybody talking. This is God talking. Okay, this will come to pass. Now it shall come to pass if, big word, two letters, huge word, huge, on the huge side of big. If. Don't leave that out. That's pivotal in the whole verse, really. It shall come to pass if. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God.
Sure.
To observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. Do right. Come on, just do right. Love when you're supposed to love. Forgive when you're supposed to forgive. And deal with it. And live holy. Do right. Don't do things unethical. Hello. Why? Because God said so. And because it will bless you. It's for your benefit. Laws free us. They don't bind us. They free us. Thank God for laws. Good laws. Godly laws. Biblical laws. There are some bad laws out there, but not in the Bible. When God says love, it's for your benefit. When He says give, it's for your benefit. You know, if you're friendly, people will be friendly to you. If you give, it'll come back to you. You know, I heard this the other day, smile. It'll raise your face value. Are you with me? It always helps you when you do what God says.
Amen.
The laws on the highway, wonderful strip of asphalt out there, concrete depending on the type of road it is. Wonderful place. I'm telling you, it's meant to bless you and get you from one place to the other. But there are laws on the highway for your benefit. You stay on one side, the other people come and stay on the other side. Are you with me? That's what those lines are for. Stop signs, that means you stop. Green light, you go. Red light, you stop. Yellow light, you speed up. You know what I'm talking about. You got all these laws, and they're not there to bind you up. They're there to free you so you can get to where you want to go, so people don't run into each other. So that wonderful ribbon of highway out there meant to be a blessing doesn't become a curse. But immediately when you start breaking the laws, it becomes a death trap, doesn't it? Isn't that right? So laws are good. I mean, good laws, that's what they're for. So when God tells us to do what He says to do and obey Him, why? He wants to bless us. Do good, you'll eat the good of the land. Trust in the Lord, do good. You'll dwell in the land. You'll dwell in the land. Be willing and obedient. It's good stuff. Amen. Now it shall come to pass if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and obey. I'm quoting King James again. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. Well, I love that. He'll exalt you. In other words, you humble yourself under God, he'll exalt you.
Amen.
You don't have to scheme and scam. You don't have to do that. Just trust God and do right. Be humble. And God will exalt you. He'll raise you up. He'll use you. He'll do what you can't do yourself. He'll do for you. If you'll do what he says, he'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll raise you up. Amen. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. They shall come upon you and overtake you. I love that. I have a story of my life. I love that. That I believe the blessings just come on us and overtake us. They just come on us and overtake. We're not even looking for them per se. We're just looking at God. We're trusting God. And bam, he just comes on us with another blessing. Out of nowhere. Where'd that come from? That's the last thing you want to tell an insurance company when you had a wreck. I don't know where they came from. But the blessings do. These jokes, you'll get them when you get home if you'll think about them. But the blessings do come that way. They just come on you. I know we do trust God and we believe for things, but God blesses us above and beyond all we ask or think, even. Ephesians 3:20 tells us that. So it says, all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Y'all see that? Why? Because you obey. Because you did what he said. Because you honored him. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That's what James says in James 1:22. We are supposed to do the word, not just hear it, because we deceive our own self. And you're blessed in the doing of it. You'll do what you can do, God will do what you can't do. If you'll be faithful in the little, he'll put you over the much. You say, well, that's all I can do. Well, that's good. Do what you can do and trust God for the rest. If you do what you can do, he'll do the rest. You know, I love that scripture in Ephesians 6. Starts out, you know, in the 10th verse, says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand the evil day and having done all, stand. Everybody say, having done all, stand. Okay. And we often laugh about this and joke about this. A lot of people, you ask them what they're doing. They say, well, I'm just standing on the word. Well, that's great. You're standing. What are you standing on? Well, I'm just standing on the word. Well, what are you doing? I hadn't really done anything. I'm just standing. I'm saying, well, the Bible says, having done all, stand. Right. It didn't say go stand first. You go do everything you can do, then stand. And the question should be, if you're standing, what have you done? If you hadn't done everything you know to do, then you don't need to stand. You need to go back and do everything you know to do. Did you get it? Okay. Just trying to help you. Okay. But if you do everything you know to do and do everything God says to do, you've done everything you know to do, then stand. Okay. That's when you stand, because I've done everything I know to do. I really have done all I can do. And because I've done what I can do, God's going to do what I can't do. Having done all, stand in the evil day. See, I love that. So, and here he says, when he talks about these blessings, if you go through them, I won't take a lot of time, but I do want to finish this up. Is this helping you? Okay. Third verse, blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country, in the field. Now, he's talking about business, is what he's talking about. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Now, you may be a stay-at-home mom. I don't know. But whatever it is you do, don't discount and belittle that. Don't say, well, I don't have a job. But, well, no, I mean, if you're at home taking care of the kids, that's a job. Are you kidding? Whew. So, he says, blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be you when you, blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way. They shall flee before you seven ways. If you've got a lawsuit going on, stand on that one. If you're in the right, hello. If you've got banks coming down on you, done everything you know to do, stand on that one. Right. Now, I mean, really, how many times you get in a situation where you're just overwhelmed? I mean, you're the little guy. There's no way. I mean, I can't fight this. Well, I've done everything I know to do, and I am in the right. Yeah, but I don't have the money they have. I don't have the lawyers they have. You know what? I've got God. I'm doing the right thing. I'm going to trust God. And He'll deliver me from my strong enemy because they were too strong for me. That's what David said. He says, He delivered me from my strong enemy. And he said, because they were too strong for me. But God still delivered him from them. I love that one about pastoring. You know, I love the one that, you know, Paul, when he was reciting or recounting the vision he had before King Agrippa, and I think it was Acts 26, where he said that Jesus appeared to him and he said that he was going to deliver him from the people he would send him to. I stand on that one, that God delivers me from you. Anyway, go ahead. Okay. Well, let me rephrase that. Every pastor does need to get delivered from the people. He doesn't need to be thinking all the time, oh, I better preach this because so-and-so's here. They're not going to like this. No, you got to get delivered from that. As a leader, you have to preach to people, love people, and help people, and not be thinking all the time about what are they going to think. So in your mind, you have to be delivered. I look at it that way, and that's a good thing. I love you. You know that, your family. You do know that. Okay. Okay. I don't have choice. I have to. That's right. Anyway, 6th verse says, blessed shall you be when you come in, blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies to rise up against you, be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way, they'll flee before you 7 ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouse and in all that you set your hand to. See that again? What does the blessing come on? It comes on what I put my hand to. Yeah, but in this day and age, with this economy, with this... No. This is not time dated. This is not dated material. Whatever you put your hand to, God will still bless. He said He would. He will do that. Did you read it? It's right there. Amen? He says it right there in the 8th verse. Whatever you set your hand to, He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will establish you a holy people to Himself as He sworn to you if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. That's our part. Our part is to do what He says. His part is to bless us. Amen? The Lord will establish us a holy people to Himself just as He has sworn to us if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. Then all people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord and they shall be afraid of you. Not in a bad way, but you know... people notice that you're people that trust God. You're people that pray. They see the blessing on you, and they recognize that on you. And that's ultimately what we're about. We want people to see Jesus in us. Amen? 10th verse. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, the increase of your livestock, the produce of your ground, the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Oh, hallelujah. See, we're living in that. I mean, there was times we borrowed money here in the church, and I think there's wisdom in that. It's crazy to rent and have nothing, as opposed to borrowing and have something, if you can. I realize sometimes you can't. Sometimes you have to rent. I understand that. There's nothing wrong with not being prosperous per se. What's wrong is not wanting to prosper. There's nothing wrong with being poor. But what's wrong is not trying to get out of it. No sin in being poor. And because the Bible says help the poor, give to the poor, and so on and so forth. But I think it's a sin to want to stay there. I believe we ought to ask God to help us and show us how to get out of it and go to the next level and go to the next step. We rented for a while when we first started the church. We didn't have an option. Then we built a building and we borrowed money for the building. You know, whether it was the wise thing to do or not, we did get the building, got into it, as opposed to renting. We were paying a payment as opposed to rent, and that made good sense. But when we got out of debt, it didn't make sense to go back in debt. Once we got out, it didn't make sense to go back in. I believe that God takes us, just blesses us level by level by level. Well, now we're at a level where we're out of debt. We need to stay out of debt. Where we do not borrow. Amen? Praise God. And, of course, we've determined to do that, and we've done everything we can, even in building the building. Listen, we got out there. We got the money to pour the slab. We poured that slab. Are you with me? We got the money to put the metal up. We put that metal up. We've done everything that we could do. And it's amazing, even with that building, as we've done what we could do, all of a sudden, the blessing starts coming. Hallelujah. It's just awesome. Just amazes me. And I believe that stuff, and I'm still amazed at it. 12th verse. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, you shall not borrow, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Wow. Isn't that good? I mean, you just have to quit. I mean, I'm thinking of so many other scriptures, and I won't have time to get to if I try to go there. But you'll go from what you'll go from. And hey, there are some. When I say this, this is not competitively. We got some great churches in our town, yeah. Wonderful churches. We thank God for our churches. We are pro-church. Thank God for First Baptist and Calvary Baptist and United Methodist. But you know, we started at one time, 26 years ago. We started this church. I remember when we started this church. When we started, we were the new kids on the block. They showed a Jim Jones cult film in the Rotary Club 2 weeks before we started the church. And got up and said, beware of any new organizations coming to town. And we were it. You know, because they just didn't know anything about us, and they were down on what they're not up on. And we were meeting in the Rotary Club building 2 weeks later. That's where we had our services. I remember those days. I remember how, and we just, you know, we just laughed about it. We prayed about it. I knew people, once they got to know us, would love us. And, you know, people are down on what they're not up on, but how could you not love us? Come on. Because they just didn't understand what we're about. But we went from that to Citizens of the Year. I mean, think about that. And people say overnight success. Yeah, 25 years. But we just kept doing good. We just kept blessing. We kept loving. We kept blessing. We kept preaching. We kept ministering. We kept helping and reaching out to the community. And we're going to keep doing that. Amen. We're going to keep doing that. And we're not going to fret ourselves or get worried about that. People say things. You said things too. Don't you get upset about what people say. Well, we just prayed for people and went out. We're friends with some of those same people. And we have great relationships with all those churches. And that was just a misunderstanding, just making shots in the dark, didn't know what we're about. And after we were here a while and proved ourselves. And that, you have to prove yourself. But God always comes through. Amen. And He'll come through for you. Just hang in there.
Amen.
You know that old saying, hang in there, baby. Just hang in there. You can make it. You will make it. This is God we're talking about. We're trusting Him. You'll be okay. You're going to be okay. I don't know what's going on in your life, but you're going to be okay. You just keep trusting God. We'll come out of whatever this thing is if you're in something. And if you're doing good, well, He'll take you to another level.
Amen.
That's what I'm believing for with this church. Amen.
That's right.